Welcome to episode 300 of the Ski Podcast, and thanks for joining us for our latest Winter Olympics special episode. I am your host, Ian Martin, and today I am joined by ex-Olympian and Team GB skier cross athlete, Emily Sarsfield. Hi, Emily, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Ian.
Yeah, well, this time we're much closer to us physically because I'm literally sitting in Brive-les-Bains, just below Mirabel at the moment, and you're up in Mirabel. We both skied up there. There's been a lot of new snow, hasn't there?
Yeah, there has been. I mean, we had probably about 3 days or 2 days of constant snow. The temperature was fluctuating, so determined on where the actual freeze line was. But where I live in Shandon, which is just below Mirabel, about kind of 1,200 metres, and we had snow here overnight on Thursday, probably about a good 20, 30 centimetres. So yeah, the mountain's looking pretty good up there, but it wasn't open right at the top yesterday because it's a 5 out of 5 avalanche risk. So although it looks extremely pretty, guys, all I can say is please be safe on the mountain. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, unfortunately, we have seen there's been a fatality in Val d'Isère yesterday and all the top lists were closed. But the snow was incredibly deep. I actually did manage to find a bit of accessible snow. You probably know this area. If you go up to Platier, and then you go skiers right along the ridge and then you hike a little bit, you can ski down an area that I used to know when I was doing seasons as the Rock Garden.
Yeah, know exactly where you are. There's a security de piste at the top of that, which always makes me feel a little bit more comfortable when I'm accessing. But you do have to be a little bit careful on there, Ian, because if you go slightly wrong, there is a little bit of a cliff drop. Which I nearly did one time. I was like, whoa. And luckily, my friend was like, no, stop. I was like, whoa.
It is called the Rock Garden, but I can assure you that some of that snow was very, very deep. You wouldn't want to kind of fall over. I saw a couple of people fall over, and the literal problem was digging themselves back out and getting themselves onto their feet again. But it was a bit of fun. However, we're here to talk about the Olympics. So let's move on to the action. Now, I'm afraid we have to start with yesterday's women's snowboard cross. We had high hopes for Charlotte.
We've got to start with a gold medal. Let's give him a round of applause for that.
It's not really something I'm particularly excited about. I mean, great.
I know, Ian, but it's still Britain taking a gold medal, so.
Well done. He won the, it was a skeleton, right?
It was skeleton, exactly. Matt Weston.
I did notice he comes from Tunbridge Wells, which is near to where I grew up. So well done to Matt. However, we're only discussing skiing and the snowboarding. So now I'm going to go on to the women's snowboard cross. So, you know, we had high hopes for Charlotte Banks. World champion, multiple World Cup winner, over 40 career podiums under her belt. Emily, you raced in ski across at the Pyeongchang Olympics. What do you think went wrong for Charlotte? She was knocked out in the quarterfinal stage.
Just so unlike her completely. And obviously we know Charlotte has been kind of one of the dominating athletes on the circuit and snowboard cross. And she's kind of the best, if not what like one of the best. It was very unlike her to be put in a position where she was kind of behind the pack. She's very good at overtaking. She's very good at letting the board ride. But yeah, she just didn't see the opportunity yesterday. And we saw her come from fourth place in the 8 finals to getting in that kind of top 2 position to progress through to the quarters. However, we just didn't expect to see her in that kind of position yesterday. And to be honest, watching her riding on the bottom of the course, she nailed one of the, there's a dragon's back towards the bottom, which basically, you know, for people who don't know ski and board across, it's where there's multiple rollers in one row, which kind of goes upwards and downwards. And you have to choose how you do that. You might single it, you might double it, you might triple. Anyway, she decided to kind of, I think she pulled a double and she actually cased one of the rollers slightly, which slowed up her speed because she was putting herself into that slipstream to kind of see what she could do over in the last jump. That then meant that she was still in that fourth position on that last jump. And there was essentially nothing she could do because the Swiss girl was kind of in front of her and she ended up having to pull out to the side to avoid the crash. Yeah, just this kind of positioning for Charlotte is just so unlike her as an athlete. And unfortunately, she will be devastated because she was there for a medal.
For sure. Well, I saw her interview afterwards. She's an extremely experienced athlete. She's very sanguine about it, but I agree with you. I guess the good news for her is that she does have a shot at a medal still, because she is competing with Hugh Nightingale in the mixed snowboard cross tomorrow. That is on Sunday. I spoke to the two of them about the format of that competition before the game. So let's have a listen to that.
Well, the two of you are competing together in the team format. I think probably many listeners won't even be aware that there is a team format. You've been very successful in this already, already won a World Cup race this winter. Hugh, I wondered if you could just explain, how does that work, the team format? I think most people will probably have an idea of how snowboard cross works. You'll start at the top, four at a time, first two to the bottom qualify. How does it work when you do a team event?
So in the team, the men drop first, four guys race each other, and then the time difference in the finish is the difference to when the women then drop. So if I'm a second in front of someone else, my gate will drop, then a second later, Charlotte's gate will drop.
So for you, Charlotte, we've actually spoken before on the podcast about the tactics behind snowboard cross. While evidently it can be an advantage to start out front, sometimes it can be an advantage to tuck in behind someone and then use their slipstream to overtake. So does that come into play when you're thinking about your strategy, or is it always trying to go as fast as you possibly can?
I mean, for sure, it does come into account. And I think that the guy's job often is to try and stay in contact with everybody and as close as possible. There's no point then doing everything to win, because like if they crash, that's the big problem. Yeah, really staying in contact. If they can make a massive lead, perfect, I'm happy. But otherwise, first, second or third, it's more the time gap that matters than the position.
I think for me, I just try and make Charlotte's life as easy as possible. That's probably it.
Yeah, cool. And Charlotte, at the top there then, what kind of differences are we talking about? The gates come down automatically, do they? And then, so your start is obviously incredibly important.
Yes, exactly. Different to individuals where if we are starting second but a tenth behind, I'll see the other gate actually drop in. So you might actually get a slight advantage from that. There's a point where actually you just focus on your own gate and it's the same as any other race.
Okay, and when I was talking to Ollie Davis on the ski across side of things, he was saying to me that you have a seeding race, which you get to choose which lane that you go down. So as far as you're concerned, Hugh, do you get any choice over which lane? How does it work for that?
So basically it goes off ranking in the team event. We don't really mind what gate we get given or gate which pick. We just make sure we get down there as quick as possible.
I've enjoyed chatting to you two. You obviously have a great rapport between the two of you. Really looking forward to following it. Wish you all the best of luck and have a great time in Italy.
Thanks.
So Emily, have you watched the team event before? I must admit, I haven't seen it before. It sounds great fun.
Yeah, I've seen some of the team events, and obviously Hugh and Charlotte have been kind of dominating that. They're world champions at it. I wish they had it in ski cross.
Yeah. Why? Why does it not happen in ski cross as well?
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought, because of the way that it kind of works, you would have thought it works exactly the same for skis. So, yeah, hopefully one day they'll bring it in.
So you've watched it before. What do you think of it as an event?
For me, it's great. The fact that you kind of, yeah, the guy goes out there and does everything he can, and then basically the time split of when the gate drops at the top for the female to get onto the course to try and catch, and it's fun, you know. It's like 100 meter sprinting. It's like the relay race in athletic. Yeah, I think it's a great event, so it'll be a great one to watch. Obviously so much spectacle in border cross and ski cross anyway, so yeah, definitely a good one to watch.
Yeah, well, you mentioned they're world champions and they've won a recent World Cup race as well. So they've definitely got a shout of a medal. So let's keep our fingers crossed. I mean, skeleton notwithstanding, it hasn't gone to plan for the British team on snow. But coming up, we have two more chances at a medal. Kirsty Muir takes part in the women's ski big air. The qualifiers are today on Saturday, the final on Monday. Mia Brooks is back for the women's snowboard slope style. The qualifiers are on Monday and the final on Tuesday. So we'll definitely be looking out for those, but make sure you tune into those during the weekend, listener. Now, Emily, I wanted to ask you a question about an article I read on the BBC complaining about the drones. We've seen a lot of drones at this Olympics, and the people are complaining about the buzzing, the sound there. I wondered if you had any thoughts about that.
What is it affecting their cup of tea watching the TV? okay, yeah, I get it. You know, extra sound, additional to when you're the viewer. But let's think about the athlete. You mentioned it to me, kind of, what, do you hear them? But honestly, you don't hear them, because you're there in your helmet and you're so zoned. You're thinking about exactly what you're there and intending to do. I mean, you've kind of gone through all of this kind of like in your mind for so long, your mental prep, so you don't actually hear the zones. This makes me sound a little bit old, actually, Ian, but I remember kind of when I was racing, and it's not even that long ago, two Olympic cycles ago, it was more about kind of like the head cam footage. They were kind of like, oh, you know, if so-and-so wears a head cam, it's a disadvantage because of the aerodynamics and stuff. So they would put dummy head cams on some people and real head cams on other people. And you could kind of like agree if you wanted to wear a head cam or not. And I remember kind of like, because I hadn't worn a head cam in my daily training and stuff like that, they asked me and I was like, no, I don't want to wear one because it was something new and I didn't want to. But I think the footage you get from a drone in ski cross and border cross, especially, they're the sports I know inside out. The footage you get from that makes it the viewer understand the size of the jumps, the height, how close everyone is to one another. And that's where I think that they come into their own.
And I wouldn't just limit it to that. If you think about the downhill or the slalom, it used to be that you had fixed cameras and you just see, you know, the same skier going in a certain part of the course. When the drone follows them along, I think it's amazing. I should probably point out that drones have come a long way since the one that almost landed on Marcel Hirscher in about 2014 or something like that, I think it was. But that leads us to the slalom. Drones will be in full use for the men's slalom. That's on Monday. Britain has three skiers taking part, and with Dave Riding, Billy Major and Laurie Taylor. I spoke to Laurie just before the game, so let's have a listen to that.
You're 29 now. I worked out it's your 10th season on the World Cup circuit. And this year has seen your best ever result, fourth in Levy. What do you think went right that day?
To be honest, I think it was sort of a build-up of a lot of things over the years. I have been sort of making small steps, improving technique, tactics, everything. We had a really good summer of prep. Training leading up to it was really good. And I think the improvement has just been trending up over the last years, and I had the capability, but there were just certain things I needed to improve to really put myself in that position where I could do it. You know, that all amounted to that in Levy, and because of the great prep, and now, you know, I know that is what I'm capable of.
You mentioned the experience. It takes a long time. I noticed, looking back over Dave Riding's results when he was first on the circuit, he had a lot of DNFs, DNQs, etc. You started to become, you know, almost as consistent as him now, getting a lot of top 30, top 20, top 15 results. Do you see that as being that build-up of experience over the years?
Yeah, that's definitely experience gained, learning a bit from Dave as well. When I came onto the tour, I was a bit of a wild card, still am sometimes, but that's something I've worked on a lot, building the consistency, which is something that Dave's been famous for. Learning that and building that into my own technique is definitely something that's helped shift me towards the consistent end of the spectrum.
You went to Pyeongchang, but you missed out on Beijing. How much does it mean for you to be going to these Olympics?
Yeah, it's huge, because the obviously such a disappointment not getting to go to the last ones, and it is a long time to wait for the ones after. So, you know, the last 4 years, that's, you know, it's been a goal to get us that third spot. You know, we've all been working towards it, you know, for the team to be able to unlock that spot and have us all three go. It's huge. You know, it's something we want to experience together. It's never nice when I went, Billy couldn't go, Charlie couldn't go, and then the last ones, Billy went, but then also I couldn't go, Charlie couldn't go. You know, to have our full team go, it's very special.
The race is in Bormio. So I had a look at your FIS history, and I see you raced there as a teenager several times on the FIS circuit. It might have been like a decade ago. Do you think that helps at all, you know, to have a little bit of experience there?
Yeah, it's definitely good to have familiarity with a slope or a resort. And we would always have the English champs there when I was younger. So when I was in U16s, we were there racing English champs. And I raced there when I was in FIS a few times as well. I remember racing the English champ slalom down the same slope. Feels like yesterday. So, but it was not.
Cool. Well, I hope that does benefit you. You know, I mentioned earlier that you had your best ever result this year, fourth at Levy. I know that you got married last year. They sometimes say that behind every great man is a great woman. Do you think that's what's made the difference, as well as having the experience of skiing so many years under your belt?
You know, I definitely have a great woman behind me, Katia. We got married in last April. it definitely changes things a little bit. You know, you step into the role as a husband, you know, provider of the family. So I better start skiing well so I can provide.
Cool. Well, you know, it's brilliant to talk to you, Laurie. And by the way, I love your videos that you do on your YouTube channel.
Oh, thank you.
You know, they really are fantastic and they give you a really good insight into what's going on with the team. So I wish you all the best of luck next month to you and all the team in Bormio.
Amazing. Thank you very much.
Cool.
He mentioned how he's learned from Dave Riding. There's going to be a lot of attention on Dave, who's retiring this season. He has 7 World Cup podium finishes, a best of 9th at the Olympics. What do you think his chances are of bettering that, Emily?
Do you know what? I've known Dave since he first started racing on snow. In fact, I think I was his coach for his first ever snow race. but basically, I don't want to put any form of pressure on Dave. He's just not that kind of guy. He's very controlled in his situation and he knows what he's got to do. And basically for him, he's one of the best slalom skiers in the world. And it's just, everything's got to go right on the day. He's got to feel it. He's got to feel the momentum. The slope's kind of got to be quite suited for him. He's got to have like really fast reactions. There's absolutely no reason why Dave couldn't go down and win like any of the top 15 slalom guys in the world. But there's also no reason why Dave couldn't go down and come 15th. So because the margins are that close. So I would absolutely love for more than anyone, because he's such an amazingly nice guy. Mm-hmm. And what you see on TV and Instagram and whatever else, that is him. He's just this super, super nice northern guy. And I'd love for more than anyone for him to go home and get a medal, because that would be the icing on the cake for his career.
Of course it would. I think you're a bit biased towards the north there, Emily. I like your comments. Regular listeners will know the Ski Podcast sponsors the next generation of British slalom skiers, Carrick Smith Brothers. I asked Zach and Luca last week for their predictions.
Slalom, big race. It probably has more attention on it than any other apart from the downhill. You've been racing in the World Cup this winter, Luca. Who would your picks be for the podium at the Olympics in the slalom?
I think McGrath, he holds together, he's going to win. Dobson has a chance. Clément also has a chance.
I feel like a lot of people have a chance in the men's slalom.
I think it's quite wide open, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, the first 5 races was 5 different winners. So like Luca was about to say, anyone in the top 30 can win.
Right. We'll be back on Monday to review exactly what happened in the slalom, plus Kirsty Muir in the big air and Hugh and Charlotte in the team snowboard cross. Until then, if you'd like to share your thoughts, you can contact us via Spotify, Instagram or Facebook. Our handle is @SkiPodcast, or drop me an email to theskipodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on WhatsApp for exclusive material released ahead of the podcast. If you're booking ski hire this winter, don't forget, if you use code SKIPODCAST at InSportRent.com, you'll get an extra discount, normally about 6% extra off the online price. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Right, for now, I would like to thank Emily for joining me. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Ian, and see you later this week.
And finally, listener, thank you for joining us wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.